The name Mark Diano is familiar to many of us because not only is he a lifelong journalist and Pulitzer Prize finalist from New Jersey, but many of you have read his front page columns for the Star Ledger and NJ.com. Some of you might not know that Mark began his career as a sports writer for the New York Post. Sports provides the backdrop for his second novel that has just come out, Gods of Wood and Stone, published by Touchstone. Mark, thanks for coming in to WBGO to talk about your latest work.
Thanks, Doug. I'm glad to be here.
The two main characters that you created in Gods of Wood and Stone are very different in many ways. You have a blacksmith named Horace Mueller who lives in Cooperstown, New York, and you have a former Boston Red Sox player, Joe Grudek. Why did you come up with these two individuals?
Well, it's interesting because for me, this book is almost like a marriage of both of my careers as a sports columnist and then as a general news columnist. As a general news columnist, I started to discover New Jersey's history, and I got deeply immersed in it. And I met guys like Horace Mueller, these, you know, reenactors and these people that are very passionate about history. You know, they dress up and they have Canal Day up at Waterloo Village and, you know, Revolutionary War enactors and Civil War enactors. And so for me, there's two reasons I picked the blacksmith. One is that the blacksmith used to be the embodiment of masculinity in the 19th century, in the 17th century, you know, the Wadsworth poem, you know, about the blacksmith. The blacksmith is the guy, he was the strong man of the village. He was the guy that could bend metal and do miraculous things. He worked in fire. And obviously the role model for masculinity in our culture is the athlete. And so putting those two guys at the ends of those historical perspective was interesting to me. And the other thing is that, you know, the blacksmith basically works in the dark. You know, he works in a dark place lit by the fire. You know, in the old days, it was, you weren't in the light. You had to be inside, where the coal fire would go. And the ball player works in the light. And so that darkness versus light and those, you know, being on different ends of the popular culture spectrum was interesting to me. You know, one of the themes that through the book is that the Farm Museum and the Hall of Fame come under the same umbrella in Cooperstown. They're run by the same foundation. And of course, all the money, all the attention goes to the Hall of Fame, and the Farm Museum, you know, gets many, many, many thousands of less visitors, if they even get, you know, a couple thousand a year. And so there's the blacksmith, you know, working in obscurity, and he has this, you know, jealousy and anger that the culture has shifted towards sports and nobody really cares about the rural roots of the country and the foundation of the country anymore.
I'm going to ask you to give us just a little synopsis because we don't want to give away everything that happens, but what would you like the listeners to know as you summarize the plot of the book?
Well, the book begins, the opening of the book is the blacksmith jumps up on the stage during Joe Grudek's induction and he breaks up his plaque with a hammer. And Joe Grudek has absolutely no idea who this guy is. He doesn't know who this guy is. He thinks it might have something to do with a Me Too moment way, way, way back in his minor league playing days. And he's afraid of that. He's afraid that that incident will pop his, you know, his image bubble. And the blacksmith, you know, and then they have a fight. And Joe Grudek, who's a big guy, and you know, they even made a base brawl video of him because he was, always jumping into the fray. He has his hands full with this guy. He's a strong working man. And when they're separated, Joe Grudek is injured. And then the next chapter opens up with Horace Mueller waking up in his farmhouse. And you realize that it's prior to this. And the whole book works back to the confrontation. And in the process, we learn that Horace is alienated from his wife because he's trying to pull his son back from the sports and pop culture juggernaut. He wants his son to learn more about their authentic culture, teach him things about, geology and the stars and all those kind of stuff that boys don't learn anymore because they're just on travel teams and, you know, their parents are their caddies. And Horace Mueller really resents this. He resents that he's losing this battle, and it causes tremendous strain in his marriage. The Joe Grudek's narrative is about the alienation of celebrity. And this is, a really important American topic. Celebrities become cartoon characters to us, we care about them for what they are, not who they are. And so at the end of his career, now that he's going into the Hall of Fame, he realizes all he is to people is who he was, not who he is. And this is terrifying to him. You know, he knows he's going to be the guy that, you know, when they come to a card show, they'll look at him and they'll say, "Hey, what the hell happened to Joe Grudek? He looks so old," you know, because in people's minds, he's still the young ball player. And he is adrift in the world. He's never made friendships, close friendships. He never married. He took advantage of his celebrity in that way. And now that he is retired and he's working, he's living at a golf course based on Trump National. And believe me, I started this book long before Donald Trump became president. He's working at a golf club there, rounding out foursomes with, really rich executives and, you know, country club members, which is so contrary to his upbringing, where his father was a sheet metal fabricator in a union. So these two guys are like lost in their own worlds. And you said earlier, Doug, that they were very different, but in some ways they're also very, very similar. They're throwbacks to an age that they thought was simpler, more pure, and they're disgusted by the world that they live in now. And so the trajectory of the story, Horace's anger fuels his narrative. And Joe Grudek's anger and alienation fuels his narrative. And so he decides that he wants his induction speech to be about how sports got out of control in his lifetime. And just as he's about to deliver the speech, that's when the blacksmith comes up.
He
never gets to do the speech. And so one of the great ironies of the book is this guy with the great historic intent, which is the blacksmith, wrecks the historic moment that for the ball player, who's essentially going to do the same thing that the blacksmith does. Hey, let's remember how it used to be.
Horace hates the digital age and resents that his son Michael would rather play and watch games on his big screen, TV and whatnot, rather than work in the shop with him, and as you mentioned, would rather be playing sports. Do you draw that from anything inside you, that you hate what has happened with the family structure, with the digital age? Is there any of Mark Diano in there?
Well, sure. I mean, I have six children to some degree. I have spent a lot of my life, you know, sitting on aluminum bleachers, you know, driving to on Mother's Day to take a kid to a travel team soccer game. You're enjoying watching your kids, but you lose a sense of your own life. And I think that's really what's happened to my generation of parents and younger, is that your children don't have a sense that you have an adult life, that you have adult hobbies, that you can teach them things about the world around them. When I go to historic sites like Washington headquarters and places like that, you don't see families anymore. You know, they're not out. They're not learning. You know, I live in a Morris County town, and I went in and talked to the kids about the American Revolution. You know, how many of you have been to Washington headquarters? You know, one kid raises his hand, you know, and that's a shame that they don't understand their surroundings.
What's been the most interesting comment one of your kids has given you about your novels?
Oh, boy. My sons really identify with this book. They see a lot of it, and they really appreciate the book. The book is definitely a masculine book. I think my youngest son sort of recognizes that there's a part of Joe Grudek and a part of Horace Mueller and me, that, you know, there's in me, there's this, you know, arc of trying to teach my children about the world around them, this kind of discomfort with how interested in sports they were. And by the way, they're moving away from that. You know, now they're in their early 20s. There's the saturation limit has happened, and they're not as interested as they used to be. And I think that they see that in me. And so they've talked about that. I can't really come up with one single thing that they said, except that, you know, both those boys just really love the book. And I think they recognize how hard I worked on it, how long I worked on it, and how much it's about their lives as well as mine.
Mark Diano is our guest here on Sports Jam. His new novel, Gods of Wood and Stone, published by Touchstone. It did take you 14 years to eventually get this done, but I think it's so relevant right now because you mentioned one of the secrets dealing with the Me Too movement, as you refer to it, is always on the back burner and back in the mind of Joe Grudek. So maybe it was a good thing that you waited.
Well, you know, everything in God's time, right? God's will, God's time. The other aspect of the book, in addition to the Me Too stuff, is that, you know, Horace Mueller sort of stands for, I don't want to say the Trump voter, because that's not exactly right, but he stands for that sort of middle-aged guy, white guy, or just guy in general. I think a lot of African-American men and Hispanic men feel this way too. They just feel that their values have slipped through their fingers. You know, like the values that they wanted to impart their children to as family men has slipped through their fingers because the pop culture forces are just too great. And, you know, I mean, you know, I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon, but when I was a kid, you know, we had weekend shows, cartoons and stuff. Now these kids have five or six stations aimed at them 24/7, you know, aimed at the commercialism, aimed at, you know, for them to buy products, for them to, we elevate, you know, these Disney children that are become pop stars. And so, you know, the Disney Channel especially irks me because the message is, if you're not in entertainment, you're nobody. You know, all the kids, all the teenage stars are people that are singers or something else. And I think a lot of men feel that way. A lot of men feel that they're not able to raise their children the way they want to because of these influences. And then the second thing I think that a lot of men feel is when you have children, you know, the bond between mother and child leaves you on the outside looking in at times. And a certain anger percolates over that. And certainly in Horace Mueller's case, that's the case. He is trying to do things with his son, and his wife is saying, leave him alone, let him do what he wants. Why don't you want him to be happy? And Horace Mueller's outlook is, well, life isn't about that. It's about learning. It's about other things. And, you know, I've certainly had wrestled with that, you know, in my own family of three boys and three girls, you know, just, hey, you know, I want you to do this and learn this. And the kids are just pulled in a different direction.
What has been, I know we got your response from your children, but what has been the comment from someone who has read your book that means the most to you, that really tells you that, hey, all this 14 years of thinking about it, and, you know, obviously you weren't working on it all the time, but it's really been worth the effort?
The acquisition editor of this book is a guy named David Falk, who was at Touchstone, and now he's going to be the director of development for Yaddo, which is an artist colony in Saratoga. Big, it's a big deal. It's like a big artist, writer's colony, and it's very historic. And anybody you can think of as a writer has been through it. David believed in this book, and, you know, my agent said, nobody's going to want to read a book about middle-aged white guys. And I said, well, you know, maybe if we put out books for middle-aged white guys, they'd read them. You know, literary fiction. David recognized the power of the book right away. And what he said to me that was just such a great compliment in such a sad way is that the opening chapter, the chapter where Horace, you're introduced to Horace after the confrontation, he said, was the greatest scene of marital discord he had ever read. And this guy has been an editor and read, you know, thousands of books. And the other thing that happened just the last couple days was I got an email from the man named L.J. Ganser, who is reading the book. He's doing the Audible version of the book. And again, a guy who's read thousands of books, and he just said this book, he's so immersed in it. He loved the dialogue. He loved the internal thoughts of the characters. He said it was just, you know, he very rarely, you know, it's a job for him. He very rarely loves a book that he's reading. He doesn't choose what he can read. And this book, really moved him. And just this morning, he sent me an email that said, I'm going to miss Horace and Joe Grudek. And to me, that's like the whole thing. Like, you know, I felt the same way. Like, you know, I finished the book and these two guys, like my friends, where are they going? It's like they moved away, you know? And I think that's a great compliment. If you feel that the people are so real that, you know, that you can touch them. And so the question is, will there be a sequel to this book? And
you just took the words right out of my mouth.
And the answer is probably not. You know, John Updike did that with the Rabbit books. Harry Angstrom was the character. I don't think so. I think for me, it's time to move on to something else. Now, if the book becomes a number one popular bestseller and somebody says, you know, your next book didn't do well, you got to dig up Joe Grudek and Horace Muller. I don't know, but I'm not thinking in those terms. I'm thinking about the book I'm writing about the police PTSD, and moving forward.
We certainly look forward to your next book, and Mark Diano, you know, we appreciate you coming in not only just to talk about the book, but also we get a better sense of what makes you tick inside, and that's what this program's all about.
Doug, thank you very much. It was a great interview. I so appreciate you giving me this amount of time, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's such an honor to be on this station and on this program.
Author and Star Ledger and NJ.com columnist Mark Diano. He'll be my guest on an upcoming edition of Sports Jam, the award-winning WBGO podcast. You'll hear much more about his career. You can check out all the podcasts at wbgo.org/sportsjam. Before we wrap up this edition of the WBGO Journal, I'd like to say thank you to all of you who have reached out this week with your concern and love for our colleague, WBGO news anchor Glenn Crespo. Glenn passed away earlier this week following complications from a heart attack. He was 64. Glenn, who even hosted the WBGO Journal a few times, was a true pro. We thank him for all his hard work, and we will certainly miss him. Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 6:30 for another edition of the WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to WBGO 88.3 FM.